Hey everybody, it's Zach Appleby with Tabletop Business Masterminds. Today I am joined by Michael Wu. Michael, say hey to everybody.
How's it going?
So as usual, me and Michael are going to do a one-on-one strategy session. Michael, can you help me starting off by giving me a deeper background? I've done a little bit of research before a meeting, but I want to know more about specifically what is your journey? Where are you? How'd you get here? And where is it you're trying to go?
Yeah, for sure. So it's kind of been an interesting journey in the sense that I've been doing a lot of different and sometimes unrelated things that I've just had some interest in. I started out, I published a D&D app for iOS and Android back around 2020. It's mostly aimed for DMs, gives them a bunch of random generators and other tools. I've also since then had a micro Kickstarter for some PDF generators about a year or two ago. I have a newsletter and a blog. I post all the newsletter articles to the blog, so it's the same feed, just with mostly DMing advice and other sorts of different resources I've come across. I also have a small Etsy and eBay store for dice and keychains I make, things like that, but that's not really the main focus. So that's kind of been where I'm at lately. Going forward, I'm hoping to do some more apps in the future. Currently working on some of those, some more player-facing apps, possibly since that has a bigger audience. And also have some more micro Kickstarters, but also possibly some larger Kickstarters also down the road with actual physical books being print on demanded and then shipped out to people. So a lot of different things going on there, but it's all things I find interesting, so I enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to first question, I just wanted to know, did you already have micro Kickstarters in mind and then you heard about me, or did I help at all make that happen?
No, I think I just thought of the idea even before the concept of micro Kickstarters, but it
It
kind of
existed
just
before
meshed
me, so
together, you know. Yeah, it just seemed to make sense. Like if you have a small product that you wouldn't be selling for $20, you're in, you know, kind of less than $5 range, and you have this idea for a product and you want to put it on DriveThruRPG, for example, it just made a lot of sense to me to kind of use Kickstarter almost as like a pre-sale platform, which I guess they don't like, but it's not like they are going to say anything. So
They might not like it, but even like just a
yeah.
note on that, like CMON, one of the biggest board game companies, has used it several times to great effect, and they get a 10%. They get, well, a 5% cut to them. The platform takes 10%, but 5% is for payment, 5% is for them, you know? So they may not prefer it, but it's happening and they're making money off.
Yeah, as long as they get their cut and the customers don't complain about any issues, I guess they're fine with it. So it just made a lot of sense to me to have it on as many platforms as I could realistically. And it seemed like Kickstarter had a really good built-in audience and you were getting a lot more engagement than if you just slapped it on DriveThruRPG and hoped for the best.
Completely agree. I mean, that is just one of the core facets of the micro Kickstarter. Something really interesting on my end, because I looked into you and it doesn't seem like you have a super big social media following or anywhere. So when you launched, and just to like give any listeners a kind of background here, you launched a really simple campaign. No video, no stretch goals, a few pictures. You offered what I think the best piece of marketing you had in there was the free preview. And then you only had two rewards, a $2 and a $5, $2 for a non-edible editable version, and then a $5 for the editable version. And most of the people went for the $5. You got over 300 backers, about $1,500, I believe. And I think you ran that for just 30 days between March and April 2022. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So one, I mean, round of applause, awesome. Great first Kickstarter. That's wonderful. What did you do? I'm interested to know what you did for promotion, because I don't, you're, if you had an audience before launch, it's non-obvious to me.
Yeah, I did post about it on Twitter, as one would imagine, since I've had my D&D focused Twitter before that Kickstarter launch. So I posted about it a couple times I don't think it was responsible for the majority of the backers. So I'm trying to think. I don't think I posted it on Reddit or Discord or other platforms. So I pretty much just relied on the built-in Kickstarter audience. So to some extent, I might have just gotten really lucky in the traction that it built and then kind of snowballed into, since I didn't really do a lot of marketing for it. I didn't do any Facebook ads or anything like that. So most of the Kickstarter analytics, it just says like a an other source that isn't very helpful, but most of it just seems to be from the platform itself.
And a note there, for anyone listening, is that your Twitter followers is under 400, and so the math would normally work out that maybe you got three or four people off Twitter to back you. But the point for this is you're an excellent case study for there is a pre-built audience on Kickstarter looking for something cool. When they find something cool, they'll back it. They might even share it, and then their friends back it. And when you do something micro for something $2 to $5, it's super low risk and it's your first time, many more people are willing to take a chance on you. Okay. And so most of what you got backed on was just platform. All right. And so you did that. You got, 370 backers. And then you're doing apps and all that. What's coming up? What are you working on now?
Yeah, so coming up now, I'm hoping, I guess, the closest thing to launch from now would probably be another micro Kickstarter. So this would be even smaller of a campaign. And I think it's just maybe $1 or $2 reward and probably just one tier. It would be a simple module for DMs to kind of give their players. It has downtime activities and sample kind of recap questions for people's sessions, to help people keep their players engaged between sessions. So just a it's one page of content with like a cover page and some credits at the end. So basically just one page PDF, so probably just $1 or $2, and then I'll have my generators from the previous campaign as add-ons, probably just the same items and the same pricing for that. So that might generate more money than the actual campaign itself. So that's probably the next thing I'm working on. I've started just briefly outlining the campaign on Kickstarter, and I'll send that to the Discord for any feedback once that's ready to have people look at it.
Yes, absolutely. Even in the Discord, because one of the things that I loved about your Kickstarter is that I immediately saw things of like, oh, well, this just like a little touch up, and this can, be just a little more clear, professional, and not even like professional, professional. I don't want it, you never want it to look like it came out of factory, but you also don't want it to look like it came out of your basement. It's a fine line, and just like to spruce things up a little bit and help you nail those few people who are still stingy about the $1 or $2. And it is very possible that with add-ons, you could again get you'll at least raise more than you would have, and it's unknown how much more you're going to raise in total. So you're doing the micro Kickstarter. What else are you working on?
Yeah, so I'm also, as I mentioned, working on additional mobile apps. So this is more of a player-focused app. Again, it would have a downtime focus. It has recap questions and little mini games they can play for their downtime activities, and a campaign journal so they can fill in different locations and NPCs and quest points that they've come across. So kind of, I guess, branching more into the character-focused arena with this mobile app. So, I mean, I've just started developing it maybe, a month ago. So it's going to be a while for that to be ready. So I'm not sure when that would be around or if that would even be the next thing after the micro Kickstarter. But that's another thing I'm currently working on. Also, always working on updates for my DMing app that is already published, always adding new stuff, listening to feedback, that sort of thing.
All right, I'm just taking notes over here. So you are considering then doing a Kickstarter for the app that's kind of a partner to the micro you would run prior to. Is that correct?
They are somewhat separate. I'm not sure whether or not I'll have a Kickstarter for the mobile app since the various app stores kind of get upset if you have customers paying for in-app purchases outside their platform. So I'm not sure if the mobile app would be a good idea for a Kickstarter, but I've certainly thought about it. But they're kind of designed to be separate. This micro Kickstarter that I'm working on now, like the PDF's already done, it's just a one page. So I think I'm hoping to launch that September, October, and have it fulfilled by November. And then the app would probably, be a number of months after that away. So they're kind of designed to be separate.
Okay, that's really interesting because I understand why, and I'm just looking right now. So one I'll say, and this is something that's out of the realm of my expertise, but I would say might be worth looking into for you, because when I type in like mobile apps on Kickstarter, it's definitely been done before, and it might be worth looking into because I think that if you call it a beta version. And you just have initial people on the app from the outset. One thing is that that would help set your app up for the future, get more reviews in ahead of time, because now you have a direct line to those people who have downloaded the app to say, hey, if you love the app, please leave a review in the app store. It really helps it get seen, but I also understand if that's something that is just you're not willing to deal with the discomfort that may be caused. I just think it might be worth looking into. So you've told me where you are, where you're going. You have a lot of interesting things with the micro, the apps, all digital and just off your blood, sweat, and tears. I love it. You also do have a physical side because you have the Etsy. What are your plans for that?
Yeah, so I put my generators from the micro Kickstarter. I would just print them out on different kind of parchment paper. So that's one product I have on Etsy, and it's maybe gotten 5 or 6 sales, maybe more than that. But I also put together different like mystery dice, little bundles, and I've made D20 keychains that I've put on the Etsy store. So it's just little things like that. But I would say that's probably not my main focus of what I'm putting energy into in terms of product creation. I'm more focused on the micro Kickstarter and the app and things like that.
Gotcha. Awesome. So what can I help you with? What is it that you're struggling with or want to know more about?
Yeah, so I think social media is kind of an interesting topic that probably would be good to touch on. Looking at a lot of your kind of how-to videos or the short videos you send to the group. When you talk about marketing, a lot of that ends up being social media. And I guess as a person who hasn't used social media a lot, or I guess more accurately, I have trouble sometimes coming up with content so that I end up not posting for months on end. It's kind of hard for me to do that, once a week, once a day, kind of posting on there. So I guess I just want to talk about like how important is social media to these kinds of projects, since it seems like like you mentioned, you could have 1,000 followers on Twitter and get, one or two sales or backers. So it seems like these social media platforms, you're not getting a lot of sales off them, since it seems kind of inundated when I look at my feed, for example. So I'm just trying to wrap my head around, what can it do for you, or is it worth it? How much do you have to put into it before you start seeing some returns in terms of audience and that kind of stuff?
Okay, awesome. So I do talk about social media a lot when I talk about marketing. And the main reason I do that is because most of the people that I'm reaching out to, they have absolutely no audience to start with, and they have no overhead to acquire one, meaning that you can't just buy your way in. And so the only free thing that you can spend no money and only spend time to acquire an audience is social media or by going out and doing things, and that includes Kickstarter. So what I'll say to start is that if you just don't like social media, there are alternative routes. And I don't talk about them a lot because they're hard in their own different ways. All right. So for example, you can go to conventions, you could do speaking events, and I just did this at Origins. All you got to do is go to their websites and find out when they're accepting people to put in, and you just say, "Hey, I want to do a 30-minute seminar on virtual tabletop. You know what to expect in 2024, or how to build apps that players find helpful, or just go over the stuff that you've already put so much work in. You're building an app and you're building a product around how to handle downtime and how to keep track of what you're doing." That's a great seminar. You can do that at a convention. You can run a webinar. That's one of the ways I grew Tabletop Business Mastermind just recently, and I want to continue to do is webinars, free webinars on here's how to do this. And social media helps you get the word out about those things. But if you're doing something like a convention that has a pre-built audience, if you're just launching on Kickstarter, which has a pre-built audience, you can do you did very well by doing the micro, and you, I would say, got a little lucky, but still, you have over 300 people and they have a pseudo email list. If you wanted to say, "I don't want to do social media until it becomes absolutely necessary, until I'm at the point where I just can't grow without it, or I'm not connected with my community enough," then you have full permission and ability to focus on connecting with the audience you currently have and growing that organically through email and through touch points like the Kickstarter. Okay. And so what that would look like, you've probably heard me talk a lot about, send out backer surveys, ask them what you like, let them know what you're working on next, and say, "Hey, join the email list. There I'll tell you what I'm working on and what's coming up next." You already had a blog going on, and I would just kind of fuse that energy. It doesn't need to be a newsletter, but if you're literally doing nothing else, I think a newsletter might work for you as a way of just continually putting out good stuff. You know, does that make sense? Did that arise any questions?
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. I guess it seems like community is better than audience, perhaps.
I agree. And that's one of the ways that I recently heard about how this can be phrased is that with crowdfunding, which is what Kickstarter is, and it encapsulates other crowdfunding sites, people focus mostly on the funding and not enough on the crowd. You know? And so I do think that everything you do has the potential to be massively enhanced if you have more places for people to connect with you and discover you. And that's one of the things that social media can do is that what social media and what all your marketing actually is meant to be are, let's put it like this. Think about it like an irrigation system. Okay. You want your social media and everything in your marketing to make as smooth a flow of water as possible. And then you use projects to kind of make it work. All right, to start getting in trickles. You want as many ways to capture the water, which is the people, and you want them to flow through as many ways as possible and eventually to the point where they trust and buy from. All right. And it is, I would say, difficult to get discovered if you're not on social media. It's not impossible because there's word of mouth. All right. It's just very difficult to initiate word of mouth. And that people are more likely to feel a connection to you if they follow you somewhere, you know, if they have more places where they can connect with you. But to that point, most of social media and the marketing you want to get to people is so that you can get as close to them as possible, which generally is the email list, you know, for most people. And so for the people you already have on Kickstarter, you've already bridged that gap. You've done the work that many people want their social media to do for them. You've already gotten funded. You've already gotten people who you can reach back out to and say, "Hey, here's what's coming up next." You know, it's a matter of social media can help you grow beyond that. Okay. Any questions about that before I can go into real quick about like now if you want to do social media, here's what I recommend after particularly for you. But before I get into that, I want to make sure that's something you want to hear.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess it seems like I have a lot of different or unconventional social media presences Like you said, like the Kickstarter audience that you have there that you can send updates to. And I have the newsletter list, which comes from my app, and also I solicited emails from the Kickstarter. So that's around 200 or 250 people that have signed up for that. And then my app has a Discord link to it, which we'll have for the other projects as well, which has about 250 as well. So I have these kind of unconventional audiences that aren't the traditional social medias, but hopefully those will have, I guess, some sort of level of fruitfulness down the line. But yeah, I guess,
That's better.
yeah.
Let's be clear. I think what might be happening here is that social media can get very glamorized and very it's a number that's displayed and it's a number that's measured and it's constantly talked about. I'm like, Discord and email are better. Okay? Because that's a group. It's best in Discord because they can interact with each other, which you don't get in email. Email is a little bit more disconnected. It's great for conversion. It's great for money because you're in their email box and they're guaranteed almost to see that email, versus where that you have a, maybe if you post on Twitter, even if they follow you on Twitter, So to be clear, 250 on a Discord, 200 plus on an email list, that's better than 200 followers anywhere else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like a big quality over quantity thing.
Absolutely. Like I said, how are you going to grow that 250? Well, you can keep doing Kickstarters and keep growing in what I would call very grassroots method. You will probably hit a wall at some point. And when you hit that wall, it'll be really nice for you if you already have a social media engine ready to pour fuel into. If you hit that wall and you don't have a social media engine, you can choose to then go on that journey. It's a matter, it's one of those kind of like preventative healthcare things. You can make your life easier 5 years from now by working on social media now. You're in a very unique place, by the way. Most people don't have this great place that you're in. Okay, you are in a preventative care where everyone else is in a, I need to do this right now because no one knows I exist. You have over 200 people who know you exist, but if you want thousands of people to know you exist, you're probably going to have to get on social media or find some way of putting yourself out there where people can easily share you and easily discover you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I guess what would that look like? Is it just like, as you were saying, post once a week or once a day or whatever you can do type of thing?
Yeah, so here's the best thing that I think would work for you in particular is start everything needs to be broken out from a core. So have you heard any of my talks on content distribution?
I think I've followed all your webinars and things you've sent out, but I guess you can remind us.
Okay. So the best for content distribution in general, the two best pieces of content are either a blog or a video, video being the best by far. And the way that you want to do this is let's start with the video. You have, let's start with me. You have a 30-minute webinar. All right. What I have the ability to do is to take the audio from that webinar and transcribe it. And now it's a pod, just take the audio, it's a podcast. Just take the transcription of the audio, reformat it into a blog. While I'm reading through the transcript, I'll pull out the best quotes, put them over images of myself or something that connects to my community, and I'll tweet those out. I'll put that out on Instagram. I'll put that out on Pinterest and Facebook and all the places. All right. And now I've created several pieces of content, literally dozens, from one video. Likewise, from a blog, you can read the blog. It's a podcast. You can read the blog from a camera. Now it's a video. You can take the best bits and pieces from the blog, spread them around just like you did with the video. For now, here's the thing that I have to put a caveat on is that I don't do everything in that process. That is the full-time process. I have a full-time job. I have kids. I am helping my wife grow her stuff, and I'm trying to grow my stuff. So just creating a few pieces of course content has been enough for me. I created Twitter. I read my tweets, and I made those TikToks, and now I'm putting my TikToks on Facebook and on YouTube. and it's helping me grow audiences. But the tweets I tweeted are 1 to 2 years old. Okay. So what the thing that's most important to understand is, A, you don't need to do all of that all at once. You shouldn't. Actually, you'll burn out, I guarantee it. Two is that just because you did it 2 years ago doesn't mean it's not useful now. So something that I would recommend for you particularly is to say you have the Discord and you have an email list. I would consider, if you're not already, putting together, let's say, a monthly newsletter. Maybe you have capacity for more, but let's start with something you know you can achieve. You only need to write 12 of these, a monthly newsletter. And you can repurpose the blog content, just update that and send that out as a newsletter if you like. All right. That newsletter is going to give you a lot of content so that if you wanted to make more out of it, you wanted to tweet the highlights from that and say, hey, if you're interested in learning about virtual tabletop tools, hashtag VTT, sign up for my newsletter. It's here. Or, hey, here's a question I posed in my newsletter, but I'd love to hear what you think about it. So get good at communicating with the audience you have and then repurpose that in whatever way best benefits you, which is the secondary part of this, is work with the strengths you have. I like being on camera. I like talking with people. So public speaking and tweeting, reading my tweets on a camera, that's something I'm comfortable with. I suck at blogs and newsletters. It takes me hours to put such a long and well thought out thought together, and I'm no good at it. So I don't do it. I could do better if I did, but that's not the game. The game is not doing what you're not good at. The game is making the most of what you have and what you are good at. All right. So does that make sense?
I think the repurposing makes a lot of sense. My blog articles are kind of synonymous with the newsletters I send out, but I guess I can take those highlights and make tweets or things from that, since I guess I don't know if you saw, but basically I just tweet the link with the title of what it is and hope people think it's interesting. But I guess if you have highlights or what are your thoughts, that might be more engaging.
So number one is that Twitter hates links. So that's something to understand. All right. So let's just talk about just Twitter. Okay. And many of this can be applied to other platforms. And frankly, Twitter, if it's where you are and it's what you want to grow, cool. If you were starting brand new, I probably even actually wouldn't recommend Twitter. Okay. But we'll get to that in a second. So for Twitter, what I would say is have a post where you do have the link, but don't let that be your only post. Let's say you just posted a blog slash newsletter. Okay. I would take 1 to 3 questions or quotes, all right, just to start off. And when you're doing the blog or the newsletter, whatever, you just take it out and you take those quotes, and then I would pair them. You get a little bit more of a boost if you do a picture. And I would just, without asking anybody anything, know, hey, if you want to know more, go on my newsletter. Just purely make content to entertain or educate. Okay. Let people ask or find out more by going to your profile. The point of initially isn't to convert them over. The point initially is just to gain their attention. You can leverage the attention later. Okay. So on Twitter, just post those questions and quotes. And if you're just posting quotes, still ask the question, what are your thoughts? Because people on, especially on Twitter, on Reddit, everywhere, people want to share their thoughts. That's why they're there. They didn't just come to listen to you. They came to listen to themselves, which is another like little tidbit is if you can get them to the, getting people to talk about themselves is one of the best ways for them to like you. If that makes sense at all. Okay. So like one of the best tweets I've ever done, and I've done many, and I've done many like this, was simply like, hey, give me your favorite pizza toppings and I'll guess your hair Hogwarts house. I'll assign you a Hogwarts house. And I got hundreds of comments when I only had a couple hundred followers. because people wanted me to talk about them. That's even better. If you have the time. So I guess I should back up. What kind of resources are you able to give time-wise toward growing the social media side?
I guess it's kind of up in the air. I'm always working on newsletter articles, probably once a month or so is what I've been aiming for those kind of articles. And if I have that content, I guess it wouldn't be too hard to repurpose that into tweets a couple times a week, for example.
Yep. Okay. So, and that's so I would start, and this is generally speaking, start small, focus on consistency. Quality will follow, quantity will follow. Consistency needs to be the number one thing. So, if you say, hey, I'm writing a newsletter right now, after I post a newsletter or while I'm writing it, I'm going to pull out three quotes and I'm just going to try and tweet those out today at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. All right, just while I'm eating. All right, you can save them in drafts on Twitter. You can save them in a document if you like. And no, again, no linking. Just use some hashtags. Try and pair it with a good GIF or an image or something to make it a little more visually appealing. And try to make it a question so people ask about themselves. Just do that. All right, and you might do that for literally a year. Okay, just doing that to start, you'll begin a trickle. The way that I started was literally. I was a full-time college student with a full-time job, well, full-time hours, two part-time jobs at 50 hours a week, and I had a kid on the way. Okay. I didn't have time, so I tweeted on the toilet and said, "Seen the idea, a shoe you can eat." Stupid things like that. That got me my first 1,000 followers. Okay. And my thing was try and tweet once and comment twice. That was the thing I did for a year. That became content I could repurpose later, and it did get me an audience to start. All right. I think that something like that would be a really good start for you. The other thing that I'll add is that I would consider if there's other places other than Twitter, which is now called X. I don't know if you've been keeping up to date with what Musk has been doing. Have you been keeping up to date with what Musk has been doing?
It's just easier for everyone to call it Twitter, I think, still. But yeah, it's
Yeah,
certainly
I
interesting to
agree.
see how all that is going.
Yes, I agree, and it's not going well. All
Yeah.
right. Now, the unfortunate side is that, and I'll just take a small side note here. Twitter is what's known as a microblog site. It's a really easy place to just put out small thoughts and interact in a very simple thread format. There is no app that is doing that as well as Twitter right now. Okay, there is no one-to-one replacement. Blue Sky is trying, Threads is trying, and so are many others, but it's not quite working because they're not quite Twitter and they're all kind of replacements of something that's not quite dead yet. So it might turn out that something like Blue Sky or Threads ends up becoming the top. It also might turn out that people just give up on the format of microblogging for a while until something comes along. But it's very unlikely that that particular method of communication is going to move over to TikTok or YouTube or Instagram or Facebook, because that's not how those platforms work. All right. And that's just an unfortunate reality. The best places to be if you don't want to do video for you, I actually think would be Facebook. All right. And the particular thing I would consider for you is creating a Facebook page and or group. So again, you have an audience, they want to connect with you. So having a Facebook group, and the way that I've done this is I have a Facebook page, and that's the Apple Games page. And I have a Facebook group that I grew first, and that's the D&D Unlimited Facebook group. And I got a few thousand people on there just off the back of me screenshotting my tweets and posting memes, all right, and sharing those around. And then people started like coming into the group. Now I have a group of something thousand people who like D&D and the D&D Unlimited group. All right. And I make my Applewhite Games page. I start posting the same content to the page first, sharing into the group and sharing into other groups. And when you do that, a fun little thing happens. is that those interactions that say likes and stuff, you click on those and you'll actually see everyone who liked your content, even if it was posted into another group, as long as you're the one who posted it. And there's an invite button next to all of them. And that's gotten me over 1,000 followers on the Facebook page of people who would have never come across me, ever, just based on the back of screenshots, tweets, memes, and now only recently my videos, which if I'm doing it on mobile, I can also do. And if this, like, you have 300 people like a video, you didn't have to share it. It's they're trying to be TikTok. I've invited people that way, you know? And so Facebook is a little more stable now, which is hilarious to say, because if you'd asked me 2 years ago if Facebook would be the stable platform, I would have thought you were ridiculous. All right. Facebook is the more stable platform. People are on it, and they're not there to listen to their Uncle Joe anymore. I don't think that people are very much watching their own particular feeds. And if they are, they're mostly interacting with the stuff from the pages and groups, because those are the communities that they've subscribed to. You know, those are the things that they're interested in, that they seek out to interact with, versus Twitter and a Facebook feed where things are just swung at them, all right, unprompted and hopefully partially that they're supposed to be interested in. All right. But that's been an area that I've found easier to grow. And it might be something to consider. The point being, if you're sold on Twitter, great, go on Twitter, do exactly as I said. If you're not 100% sold on Twitter, I would consider shopping around.
So, would you say a Facebook page or group?
So long term, you definitely want a page. Here's what's good about a group. Okay. A group allows people to post. It's a very much like a Discord. Okay. In the way that people are able to interact easier with each other. People are able to post their own things and, you know, their own memes. And so they are generating content and interaction that you didn't have to generate at all. Because the bad side of group, anyone can post it. Now you can set up admin restrictions to say, hey, keep yourself promo off. Everyone has to have approval. What I do is I've set my admins that if you're a new member and you want to post something, you have to get approval from me. And if your first post is, hey, buy my stuff, I don't let you in my group because my group is for entertainment. I have a rule that says you can self promo once a month. You just need to make two non-self promo posts and you need to let me know you're doing it. All right. A couple of people have done that and it's worked out great. Many people don't. I've also had instances where I'll share a meme or someone else will share a meme that is vaguely political, barely political, and people come into the comments. You know, I boot those people and I make a show of booting those people because I'm not, because it's, I treat the group like my living room. Okay. And so I will sometimes post something as bait almost, all right, to just get the bad apples to show themselves so that I can move them. I've also set up so that if certain words are used, I'll get an alert. I can see if it was used in an improper context. And if it was, I can let them know that they're free to go. I can kick them out if it's severe enough, or I can say, hey, let's not. You know, the point of why that's all bad, like that's actually not a bad thing in that I'm doing it. It's bad that it takes up my time, you know? And so if you don't want to be an admin, if you don't want to manage a group, if you don't want to be the adult in the room that says, hey, you can't treat people like that here, leave. I'm kicking you out. If you don't want to be that kind of person, you do not want to run a Facebook group. All right. Because I guarantee you, if you don't do that, those people are going to take over the group. It will become very toxic very quickly. All right. Now, my first year doing it took much more time than it does now. All right. I probably spend 20% as much time as I used to on it. Because I've got the group going and I'm actually focused on growing the Facebook page more than I am on growing the Facebook group. So it's growing less aggressively, less is happening on there. I have less negative interactions that I have to come in and handle. You know, the reason to do a page is that it's completely within your control. You can advertise on a Facebook page. You cannot advertise from a Facebook group. All right. And it is more all about you. It's great for just growing a particular brand, you know, versus having a general audience. The negatives, it's harder to discover. People only follow the Facebook page if they already like you or what you're doing. But we've managed to do it very well for my wife, who's grown her author page, not using a group function at all. It's very easy to manage. And so I'm going to pass the question back to you. What sounds like, now that you know a little bit more about how each of them function, what sounds good to you?
Yeah, I think the group would definitely be good from a community perspective. So
You can also
perhaps I
make
would
it
look into
private
that.
and invite only if you like. You know, just kind of start and get the community right before you open up.
Yeah. I guess I just no one ever thinks of Facebook as like the up and coming platform to get started on. So it's kind of funny how it's kind of turned back around with all these other platforms doing what they're doing.
Well, it's the devil we know. You know, I think that's what that boils down to. And it's the easiest platform that you can grow just based on your own muscle. And the way I mean about that is that, like, yeah, TikTok and Instagram have a huge ability to suddenly explode. There's more viral chance on TikTok and on like Reels and stuff like that. But if I post the same thing on Instagram, if I post 20 posts on Instagram versus 20 posts on Facebook, and I do what I've done on Facebook, I share them in groups, I invite people versus Instagram, which does not have that ability, it just kind of sits there. I might, if I in 20 posts, I might get 5 followers on Instagram, I might get 50 to 500 on Facebook. You know, just based on if you're doing the work and you're doing the tactics, Facebook is easier to grow. TikTok, likewise, you post 20 videos, one of them might get 10,000 views, and you suddenly got an influx of 100 followers. And then your next 20 videos, you can't get over 500 views. It's a lot hit or miss. You know, I've posted literally hundreds of videos on TikTok. I'm at about, I think, I'm over 10,000 views. I don't remember what I'm at. Or not 10,000 views, 10,000 subscribers. I don't know what I'm at. But I still get tons of videos that get less than 500 views. You know, versus on Facebook, I generally get around the same amount of likes, and some of them will go big, but nothing's going like 10,000 view viral like on TikTok, unless I'm doing video. You know, and so that's the thing of for you to understand is like, if you put in the work on a viral platform like TikTok, you could go big, you could go really big all at once. But if you don't want to try and chase virality, if you like something that's a little more steady, that you can just put the work in, do the tactics, and steadily grow, that's Facebook.
Yeah, so I guess another thing, this could be for Facebook or Twitter, any of these platforms. Is it fine to just have one account, or should I have, kind of a account where I talk about my D&D thoughts, and then a Twitter account for the all these different apps and those sorts of things?
So, and this is where the answer for marketing is always more is better. There's always more to do. The answer for reality is just start with one and go from there. If you have one and you've done it for 2 months and you're distributing content from your newsletter and it's working out for you, just do that and then add something on. It's working out. If you're finding that you're struggling, then either stay where you are, ride the ship out for a year, see what happens with the Twitter, or if you just don't like the Twitter, switch platforms and then go from there. You know, the reality is that the number one killer of all creators is burnout. All right. And the number one thing you need to focus on is mental health and consistency. It is better to post on one platform once a day. All right, let's say that. All right, and that's not the goal I'm giving you. I'm just talking here. All right, it is better to post on one platform once a day than on 100 platforms every now and then. You know? All right,
Yeah, I
because
think consistency hasn't been my strength with the social media stuff, so hopefully I can get back into that.
and that's what would concern me, is that because I know you've kind of like gone and stop, you've done a lot of stop and go. It's very common. A ton of people do this. And it might be proof that Twitter's not the place for you if you have trouble interacting with the platform consistently. All right. Then it might not be the place with you for you. Twitter's also the easiest one to start. You just post. You don't need the tactics. You just post and you can interact with people, comment with people. So I do think that on the day-to-day, I would say try and set a goal of like commenting on two posts a day. And then when you post a newsletter, try and tweet 3 to 5 tweets that are directly from the newsletter. Again, try and go for engagements. Try and get an audience before you try and sell anybody. Have the link in the Twitter bio, which I already believe you do. All right. Have the pinned tweet that you want, which I already believe you do. All right. And just focus on pouring out a steady stream of content. Like I said before, screenshotting a tweet and posting it on Twitter. This is a fun fact. A tweet can get 5 likes on Twitter, but if you screenshot it, post it to your Facebook page, share it into the right group, it can get 500 likes. All right. That's not a can. I've done that. I do that. Okay. It's a fact. All right. So everything you do on Twitter, you can repurpose later.
Yeah. And then I guess what about these other up and coming platforms, Mastodon or Threads, Blue Sky? Do you think those are worth jumping on, or is kind of a wait and see?
I would say that for you, no. Okay. And I would say this for most small creators. All right. The people that are going to do well on Mastodon or on Threads or on Blue Sky are the people who already have a strong social presence and are reconnecting with them on the platform. And because you're kind of at a new cocktail party where you have some friends. Those friends introduce you to other people at the cocktail party. All right. The thing that we don't know, all right, is that that works for them because if Mastodon falls flat like Threads is right now, Threads became, and that was, by the way, the invention of Facebook for those of you who aren't aware. Threads had the highest download of an app, like in social media app in history. Okay. But then, so everyone was all about Threads for about 2 weeks. Okay. Oh my God, biggest day in history, biggest month in history. They're breaking every record. And then their engagement plummeted to the ground. Okay. Where like 80% of the people that downloaded it and interacted with it in that first month aren't there at all. Okay. So a lot remains to be seen, and you don't want to build your house on unsolid ground. You know, the people that are going to do well on those platforms are the people who have an audience. And then if they get lucky and the platform grows, they get to grow with it. If the soil's bad, all right, and the house washes away, they have their house on their other main platform already. You
Yeah.
know, they're not there, they have a lot less to risk. So for you, I would say, stick with the devils, you know. Start with something like Reddit, like Twitter, Tumblr. I haven't figured out Instagram. I haven't figured out, but if they work for you, they work for you. You know, that would be my recommendation.
Sure. Yeah, speaking of Reddit, I know that you've said that it hasn't been effective for you, or people don't like to be sold on Reddit, but when I was promoting my free D&D app, I noticed there was actually quite a lot of engagement. So
They love
I guess just
free.
to offer that perspective to the group, people like free stuff a lot on Reddit and you'll get engagement, but I guess not as much as if you're trying to sell something.
Yes, and that's where, like I say, people love, they love free. They're a great place for testing something. Okay, if you had a beta version of an app and you said, "Hey, I got this awesome free app," you don't even need to ask for them to give you feedback on it. They'll volunteer. You know, they're great for a lot of reasons. And if you can gain their trust, they can be very insightful. They can be very helpful. They can be very they can even be advocates for you. But they're going to start off from a skeptical place, and they really, really, really don't want to be sold to. And if you are going to sell to them, you better be prepared to have a long conversation with them. So Reddit doesn't work for me because I'm highly time constrained. I don't have enough time to write several paragraphs about why the initial concerns of somebody are not relevant to the product. All right, I did it. I tried it. I'm like, okay, and I did successfully, but and I even did a free webinar, and still people came at me like, hey, why should I listen to you? You know? And I did it. I sold to people. I made some connection, but it took so much work that it didn't work for me. Now, if that's the kind of thing that you're like, I can sling around some thoughts, I can sling around some paragraphs, I can get in the mix, maybe that's a good place for you. And there's a lot of bloggers on Reddit, and there's a lot of energy on Reddit for the people on Reddit, and there's a lot of pre-built groups that you can connect with. You know, and then they might be willing to follow you on your Discord and really learn more about you. You know, so it might be an excellent opportunity.
Yeah, I think it has potential for maybe the growing community aspect of it versus trying to directly market your product or build an audience type of thing.
Yeah. Again, I would say that probably the best things for you are, you know, if you've had success saying, hey, here's a free thing, keep doing that. And then also you have, I think, an ability to offer just like, hey, here are some of my ideas for things to do in downtime. What do you do in downtime? You know, and just general conversation stuff. Be a part of the community. Take exactly what I said on Twitter, because this is true. The screenshotting on Reddit works just as well as screenshotting on Twitter and posting to Facebook. Everything you post on Reddit, you can eventually turn into something later.
Yeah, it definitely is interesting to see all those tweets on Reddit get a lot of interaction, so it certainly is an interesting phenomenon.
It's a fun psychological thing. You want me to explain it to you? I'm a marketing nerd. You
Yeah, I
know?
think you were saying how like people would think it's somehow more legitimate if they're seeing it cross-posted or something.
Yeah, it's a pedestal effect. Okay. People think that because, oh, this came from over here, you're somehow amplified in your importance. Because when this was initially happening, when this initial behavior was, it was only people like Oprah Winfrey whose tweets you would see posted on a Facebook group or on a Reddit page. And we just never got past that. I mean, we might eventually, people might wise up, but it's been going strong for years, you know? And it's a very underutilized tactic. So there's a lot of room to do that. But vice versa, actually, what I was saying was, so that's true. You can tweet, put it over on Reddit, and build in that community. If you don't like Facebook as a platform, that's fine. Do that. You can also post on Reddit, screenshot the Reddit posts, and tweet that or post that to Facebook or whatever you like.
Yeah, it's
You
interesting. I
know?
hadn't
So
thought about
there's.
going from Reddit to Twitter.
I haven't done it. I'm sure it would have some success. But like I said, Twitter has had a lot, you're going to struggle a lot more to get anything viral, but there is the ability to connect with and grow on that grassroots community.
Yeah, for sure.
So what other thoughts or questions do you have, whether that be about the social media side? Is there any gaps that you want to fill there still, that I didn't answer? Or is there anything else you want help on?
I guess just last thing, you mentioned hashtags. I guess I'm wondering how important those are, since I'm not too familiar with figuring out which ones are good, because it just seems like you put in a hashtag like hashtag D&D, that's going to get drowned out by so much stuff. So how much is that actually helping?
So it helps because it feeds the algorithm some idea about what your post is about. Because if I say, hey, what do your players do during downtime? Well, that could be a football thing. That could be a video game. That could be a lot of things. So you help the algorithm understand the context of your tweet by putting in hashtags. And if you just think about it like that, you'll be fine. Okay. Now, yes. Hashtags are searchable, and so you can ha search hashtag D&D, see what people are talking about, interact with them. People do that less than they used to, but some people do, and there's a chance you'll get someone to interact with you that way, though it's unlikely, and that's not the game you should be trying to play. All right, you're not playing the algorithm. You're play with people. You know, people, if you believe that they will understand your post better if you put hashtag D&D so that they know it's not. What's the one that I forget. But anyways, so like hashtag D&D, hashtag TTRPG community. If you're doing something really specific like virtual tabletop, hashtag VTT, just make sure that the context is clear, just like you would for someone who is reading. And the algorithm will pick it up naturally, and then eventually it'll start showing it to people who like posts that have hashtag DMZ in them and hashtag TTRPG community.
So, like 1 to 3 hashtags would be sufficient, type of thing.
Well, that's so first of all, it's one of those kind of like hotly debated things. A lot of people disagree. If you're doing a just text hashtag, I like to just say one line of maximum two, and two is okay. All right. So, for example, Dungeons and Dragons hashtag, you type it all out, takes up a lot of space. So that might get its own line, and then you do hashtag D&D, hashtag D&D 5e, hashtag TTRPGs. That's fine. But if you are doing an image post, like if you do a meme, you have permission to have like 4 lines of hashtags. Because the meme takes up so much of the tweet that it's a real estate issue. Okay, so graphically, you kind of banner blindness out the hashtags at that point. All right. So the point of that being is like the more text you have volume-wise in the tweet, the more permission you have for a couple lines of tweets versus like one versus like two hashtags. Okay. If you have an image, the image takes up so much of the Twitter space that having 3 lines of hashtags, 4 lines of hashtags is totally acceptable. And so that's one of those weird things of like play with it and see what works for you.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, I guess it's just I don't know, it'd feel like one of those things where you're almost like fishing for engagement if you have like 2 or 3 lines of hashtag. So I've always tried to veer away from that, even though the algorithms kind of force you to do some of these sorts of things that you might
Yeah,
not
like the
be.
algorithm, you got to do it some. All right.
Yeah.
If you're just doing a text, like if you're just doing a one line, like, hey, what are your favorite tabletop role playing games? Okay, 1 line of hashtags because that's barely over, if at all, a line of text. Okay, if you're doing something like, a lot of words on, hey, I had this experience with the AI. Here's what it's coming out to. Here's what I'm worried about. And what do you guys think? That was a lot of words. And so you can say 2 lines of hashtags, So again, play with it. And it's always going to be like, don't think about it like you're trying to gain attention. Most people are banner blinding them and tuning them out, especially if they're, if they're non-obtrusive and that's the goal you want to hit. Just think about it like, I want to add context. I want to make sure that people and the algorithm understand what I'm talking about here. That I'm talking in the context of hashtag D&D, hashtag AI, hashtag guns, that kind of thing. That's all you need.
Okay, yeah, I think that's a helpful way to think about it, certainly. So, yeah, I think that's everything I was curious about, but certainly appreciate all the insights and advice and whatnot.
Yeah, no, we're at an hour, so that's really good. For anyone listening, where can people find you? And if people want to sign up for that next Kickstarter, where do they need to go to make sure that they hear about that Kickstarter as soon as it launches?
Yeah, well, I will certainly post that in the Discord that we have going, which I'm assuming is pretty much the audience that we have for these sorts of podcast things. So pretty easy to make sure everything is posted there as well. So yeah, I'll certainly be hitting that up for any comments people have on the page itself, and then when it launches, I'll let people know as well.
Awesome, wonderful. Thank you for being here. Super looking forward to the next micro and seeing how we can help, seeing how far it can go. And thank you for everyone listening. And you have a great day.